In our vet segment today, sponsored by the Veterans Broadcast Network, the American Legion is the nation's largest veteran service organization. It's got about 2.2 million members and more than 13,000 posts worldwide, whose members are involved in community-based support of veterans, service members, and their families. Now, the Legion was founded by a group of World War I veterans in Paris and dedicated itself to the four pillars of providing a strong national defense, care and rehabilitative programs for veterans, patriotic programs for young people, and Americanism. And the Legion is strongly committed to helping veterans and military families with its outreach programs and lobbying efforts as a new generation of returning veterans reintegrate into the community. Well, my very special guest this morning, Charles E. Schmidt, has served at every level of the American Legion and was elected the national commander of the 2.2 million member American Legion. This is back in September 1st, 2016. And this was in Cincinnati, Ohio, during the 98th National Convention of the nation's largest veterans organization. And of course, this year marks the 100th anniversary of the U.S. and their entry into World War I. So it's a very good morning, sir. Very pleased to have you. What are the most important issues facing veterans today?
Well, good morning, and Mark, it's great to be with you and to discuss something near and dear to, I think, all of our hearts here in America, and that's the men and women that have served this country. And, of course, the American Legion has been serving veterans. We have a couple mottos in the American Legion, Mark: veterans serving veterans and veterans still serving America. And we've been doing that as the Doughboys started the American Legion at the end of World War One, and today it has grown, as you related, to 2.2 million members of serving veterans and standing up for America, and we're going to continue to do that. It's a legacy that Legionnaires today have inherited, and we have that responsibility to carry that legacy forward.
So may I ask you, why is the American Legion so important to both veterans and all Americans?
Well, I think, Mark, it's important that, you know, we are an organization of veterans. We were chartered by Congress as a wartime veterans organization. And, of course, over the years, there's been many, many men and women to serve this country, not only in peace, but in wartime. And today, the American Legion is dedicated and committed to not forgetting, not letting America forget the services and sacrifices of those men and women, because as a result of those services and sacrifices, America has a free way of life, a quality life of freedom and democracy, unlike many, many other countries. So veterans, those who served, now have needs, and the American Legion is focused on some of those needs, like as health care and education and employment, their families. And, of course, the American Legion has some outstanding programs for youth, give youth an opportunity to participate in, but I think more importantly, to teach them about service and understanding. Sacrifice and also patriotism, because the young people of today are, as we know, are going to be leading this country in the future. And as veterans, we have all invested in America through our services, and we still can care about veterans and also the bond that was established among every veteran. Even though we don't know all their names, it's a bond that exists today. And I think because of that bond and of that investment, we care about those we served with and those who served, and also still care about a great country.
Very much so. So why is the national commander, may I ask, preparing to visit Europe?
What was that again?
I say, why is the national commander preparing to visit Europe?
Well, I tell you what, I am so honored to be the national commander and the leader of 2.2 million veterans in this organization, and of course we have the American Legion family, Mark, and when I talk about the American Legion family, it's not only Legionnaires, but also the largest women's patriotic organization, the American Legion Auxiliary, and the Sons of the American Legion, that's male descendants who may not have served in the military, that wants to serve and contribute and honor veterans as, and also honor the service and sacrifices of a parent or parents, as the case may be. You know, the American Legion, we're located, it's pretty much global, I think, not only in the United States, but in those 13,000-plus posts, we have posts in Europe and also Puerto Rico and Mexico and Korea, Okinawa, Philippines, and Guam. So we're kind of a global organization. And right now we're calling you from the state of Washington, as we're on a tour of Washington visiting Legion posts and showing our appreciation for what is being done not only on the national scale but also in the communities. And it's a great honor, believe me.
Well, it's a great organization. So we know that thousands of veterans struggle daily to overcome the hardships inflicted by traumatic brain injury and post-traumatic stress disorder. Reforming the VA healthcare system is not just a task either, but a continuing process, I gather, that will only improve. But I think Americans really have to hold their elected officials accountable and demand that veterans be treated, you know, with the dignity and respect that they've earned. What say you on that?
Well, I agree with you. You know, every state, your state, my state, we send representatives to Washington, D.C. to represent us. And I believe those that are serving in Washington, D.C. in those capacities, they represent the grateful nation. And I believe a grateful nation, she does not want to forget the men and women that served and sacrificed on her behalf, America. And it's our responsibility to remind them from a grassroots level, even through organizational levels such as the American Legion, to remind them of the duties that a grateful nation would like to be have done of taking care of them and caring for them. And I think that's the honorable thing, and I think that's the right thing as Americans that we should do. And I'm not saying that just because I'm a veteran, but we have so much freedom and so many liberties in this country. I had an opportunity to serve in numerous foreign countries during my military career. And I got to tell you, Mark, there's only one country, and there's no other country like it, and that's our United States of America.
Well, that's it. I mean, I grew up in another country, but admiring America, and we're very grateful for our ally, I can assure you. 80,000 vets, you know, it's pretty sad. They've been waiting more than 5 years to have their veterans' disability claims finally adjudicated. The problem, you know, it will only get worse unless Congress passes and the president signs a law that will modernize the VA appeals process. Do you think that's, you know, on the cards? It's going to happen?
Well, Mark, I do. On March 1st, I testified before the Joint House and Senate Veterans Affairs Committee presenting the American Legion's legislative priorities. It's actually priorities not just for us Legionnaires, but for all of America's veterans. And the Appeals Modernization Bill was one of those that I straightforward told those 34 lawmakers on that panel that veterans waiting to have their appeals adjudicated, waiting so long that the appeals may outlive the veteran, is unacceptable.
Yeah,
totally
disgusting.
Unacceptable. And there's no reason we cannot solve this problem. And I tell you what the American Legion done. This is just recently, hasn't been the first time that we, the American Legion, approached this issue. Last year, we approached that issue, and as a result, the VA listened, and they called in several of the veteran service organizations and said, okay, you all are familiar with, you deal with, you know what the problem is, let's put our heads together, let's brainstorm and come up with a system that'll trim down the wait time, but yet still give the veteran full justice in their appeals. Well, interestingly, those people from those service organizations that are familiar with the process sees what the challenges are, see what maybe better ideas might help. They put their heads together and they came up with a process that, interestingly, everybody agreed upon. How novel is that?
Yeah.
A result, that proposal went to the House of Representatives. The House of Representatives approved it last October. And, of course, we knew what happened at the first part of November, and actually prior to that, we were preparing for a national election. And as a result, the Congress recessed because many of those were running for re-election themselves. But as a result of that, and then the holiday season came upon us, the Senate did not get an opportunity to work the appeals modernization process, because I think that the next step would have been to get the president to sign it before year end, but unfortunately that didn't happen. The 114th Congress adjourned, and thus the new Congress, 115th, began in early January, and thus we had to start that whole process over again.
Right.
We mentioned that in our testimony in March 1st to 2nd of March. I went back up on the Hill and visited the Speaker of the House, the Senate Majority Leader on the Veterans Affairs Committee. I went into the Chairman of the Veterans on the House Veterans Affairs Committee, said we got to get this approved, we got to get it and take care of veterans. It's unacceptable. Well, they've listened, and there's some traction going on. And I think that if the House approved it once, they can certainly approve it again. And I believe from what I sense from the Senate side, they'll approve it as well. And I think we're going to see some results. But the American Legion is going to stay on it, I guarantee you that.
Well, that's good. That's great. And it doesn't take a genius to see sometimes, though, all the wasted money, you know, that goes on, and contacts and so on. And a bit of cleaning out needs to be done as well, but it's such a shame. You know, it breaks my heart. I see vets on the street, and I stop when I can, but, you know, they're all right to be in charge of a $60 million aircraft or this or that, but can't even get a job when you get home, which I guess one of the best ways for employers to thank a veteran is really to hire one. By providing jobs, employers can help eliminate veteran homelessness, which I think is a disgusting situation. I mean, there's so much land around. Even if, you know, you cleared the land and built some dome homes or something, vets should not be homeless, I don't think.
Mm-hmm. That's true. And there's a lot of organizations that are working on homelessness. And of course, that's one of our concerns as well. In my travels, I've visited in several states some of those facilities that are there for homelessness, and also in some of them as part of those homelessness to help them. Maybe they're in some sort of rehab or recovery program. Some of those programs mandate that they will attend training in preparing them for jobs. I think giving veterans jobs will help prevent homelessness and give them a better quality of life and maybe a better outlook on life. So we need to approach that. But all these things that affect veterans, you know, the American Legion is on it constantly. But it also takes, and it wouldn't hurt, to have the voice of the grassroots level, those that maybe are not veterans, or even if they are veterans as individuals, to contact their congressional representatives and share their concerns as relating to veterans, that a grateful nation needs to take care of their heroes. And, you know, together, I mean, we do many things in this country, and one of the things that we need to do and continue to do is take care of its heroes, and we can do it.
Well, veterans are a vital part of communities all across the nation. The American Legion programs, you know, you've got some beauties in there. Operation Comfort Warriors, Boy State, Boys Nation, the American Legion Baseball, and the Oratorical Scholarship Contest. That's an interesting one.
Well, yes. Mark, about 3 weekends ago, we were in Indianapolis, Indiana, where our national headquarters is located at, and we had our national finals of our oratorical contest, a speech contest of the Constitution of the United States. And during that weekend, there were 54 contestants, high school students from every state and every American Legion department that came. And the quality of youth in those programs and the efforts that they put in to learn and study about the Constitution. And, of course, the main theme of that contest is the orations, where they stand up with no microphone, no podium, no notes, and they express themselves. And I tell you what, Mark, you listen to those young people, the future leaders of this country, and it restores your faith in this country that it's going to be in pretty good hands. And, of course, outstanding speeches, outstanding students that had to put a lot of work in it because they have to give two speeches, 8 to 10 oration on any part of the Constitution, and then a 3 to 5 minute oration on a pre-selected topic. So they have to do a little homework and study.
But there's a bit of stress in that lot.
but it teaches them about an understanding, gain a greater understanding of the Constitution of the United States, but also it hones their speaking skills and also builds their confidence.
It's a great thing. You do a lot of great work. Well, time's just about gone for us, Commander, but in case anybody would like to know your background, you were U.S. Air Force in 65, I think. You served on active duty until your retirement in 93, so your life's been in there. Air Force Officer Training School, assignments took you to Oregon, California, Montana, Nebraska, Colorado, England, Germany, the Philippines, and Vietnam.
Yes.
And I think we've got it right. You served as the Department State Commander of the Oregon American Legion in 2004 and 2005. You know, you have served at every level of the Legion. Talk about working your way up, huh?
Well, you know, I got to say, I never when I joined the American Legion, I never dreamed or had any aspirations of becoming a national commander. All I wanted to do is join an American Legion post in the community where I'd be residing, just to get involved in the advocacy for veterans, visit veterans in the VA hospitals and homes. Be out in the community, going into schools, teaching kids about flag etiquette and respect, teaching them citizenship, participating in those youth programs to give youth an opportunity. But it just kind of grew, and here I am today as a National Commander of the American Legion. And in my travels around... And by the way, I've been to 45 departments. Departments are, of course, the 50 states and the 5 outlying and foreign departments. I've been to 45 of the 55, and every place I've been, Mark, I've noticed and found and met so many outstanding Americans dedicated to not only continue to serve veterans and work with veterans, but also to continue to serve America. And that's what makes this organization and my job so easy and great, because people out there are still red, white, and blue. And it's the veterans that help make this country so great as it is. So I am truly honored and certainly humbled to be their national commander.
Well, on that topic, sir, where can people find more information if they'd like to get involved and help one way or another with the American Legion?
Well, Mark, we got an outstanding web page. It's www.legion.org, and we welcome anybody to come and visit that. It's easy to access. There's certainly no charge. You can learn about our organization. You can learn about the leadership. You can even join the American Legion based on membership eligibility criteria. You can learn about those legislative concerns through our Legislative Center. You can learn about that Operation Comfort Warrior, that American Legion Baseball, that Boy State programs, and all the things we do. And if you're looking for a particular American Legion post in, say, a community or a state, you can find that as well. So it's a great opportunity to learn more about us, whether you're a young veteran, an older veteran. And, of course, we're on Facebook and also Twitter. So we're out there, and we welcome anybody and everybody to come and take a look at us, because you'll be surprised what the American Legion does, something that we've been doing, Mark, since 1919.
Yes, yes, and growing up, and you're doing a fabulous job, and good luck in Europe, and good luck with your posting, and in the next 5 years, I think we're going to see a lot of changes, and my thanks to you for giving us this time this morning.
Well, Mark, thank you for the opportunity, and on behalf of 2.2 million American Legion members, we appreciate your support and certainly advocacy for all of America's heroes, the men and women that have served our country.
Thank you. My thanks this morning to a very interesting gentleman, the National Commander of the American Legion, Charles E. Schmidt. And what a fabulous job the Legion does, too. We'll be right back here on the Mark Bishop Show.